Baruch Hama Boim Rabbi, so to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Vayishlach. We come together, B'siyata D'shmai and Be'ezus Hashem, each and every week, not only to learn Divrei Torah and to be mechazik each other, but to enhance our Shabbos Kodesh. We mentioned many times how this year specifically, when there was no Tekiah Shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah because it was Shabbos, we spoke out the word from the Minchas Ani. Rabbi Etlinger, the Aruch Laner, said that very, very powerful word. Every year, but especially this year, it's our job and our achrayus to make Shabbos Hamalka look beautiful. So I ask you as a reminder, when you hear the Divrei Torah, a chalek of why we give them is so that you could say them over at your Shabbos Suda, at your Shabbos table. Share them with somebody over Shabbos to bring about more Kiddusha to your Shabbos, especially this year. So please remember the Divrei Torah to be shared and said over specifically on Shabbos Kodesh. The Shir is said, L'zecher Nishmas Ula Ilei Nishmas, Rebecca Basarina, and Leon Ben Rachel, your dear parents, their Neshama Tahara Zohobin, Alichtege Lichtege Gan Eden. It's also sponsored, L'zecher Nishmas Ula Ilei Nishmas, Miriam Zlata, Basra Moshe Machoel, may her neshama tahira as well have a lichtige, lichtige gan eden. Wonderful to be able to learn together Parshas Vayishlach, and hopefully the Divrei Torah and the topic that we've chosen for tonight's shir will give all of us chizuk, especially in light of the matziv of the last month and a half, the Esorahi LeYaakov. And Be'ezus Hashem will be a topic that hopefully will inspire us towards the Geula Shalem. If you take a look in the Parsha, Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. How could you get a pasuk more beautiful than that? Lamed Beis is Lev, your heart. Lev, Lev. Perek Lamed Beis. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Lev, Lev. The pasuk says, Vayizach lo Hashemesh. Sometimes we have a shir that we go through many psukim. I don't have a chumash in front of me. I assume it's Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. When I looked it up, it's Vayizach Lashemesh, Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. Sometimes we have a shir that goes through. Thank you so much. Because we'll go through many pshatim. Here, actually, on the parasha itself, pretty much that's all we're going to discuss. A little bit more, but primarily just this pasuk. Vayizach Lashemesh, the sun rose for Yaakov Avinu. The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis, tells us a story. And I'm sure when you hear the story, it's a story on this Gemara that the sun rose for Yaakov Avinu. Did it rise just for him? The sun rises for everybody. In fact, isn't that the part we said a few weeks ago in Parshas Vayera, that the chesed of Avram Avinu was kichom hayom, like the heat of the sun, warm and illuminating to everyone equally. What does it mean it rose for Yaakov Avinu? I'm sure when I start this story in the Gemara in Chulin Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis, you'll think, this story sounds very similar to another Gemara, and you'd be right. If your brain, as you hear this story, starts processing the last Gemara in Makos, which is, dare I say, one of the most famous Gemaras or well-known, certainly, you would be right to make the correlation between the two. The Gemara says in Chulin, Rabbi Akiva was discussing this pasuk of the sun rose for Yaakov Avinu together from Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, and they weren't just discussing it on any occasion. They were purchasing meat for the chasana, the upcoming chasana, should I say, of Rabbi Gamliel's son. Mamish, a beautiful, beautiful simcha, as you can imagine. And this is what they're discussing. Rabbi Akiva asked the question I asked you a moment ago. Vayizrach loy Hashemesh, the sun rose for him. It only rises for Yaakov Avinu. The sun rises for everyone. So Rabbi Akiva explained that Rabbi Yitzchok tells us, and you should take a look at Rashi. Rashi's, and not found here. Rashi's found a bit earlier. Perek Chav Ches Pasuk Yud Aleph. Chofches Yud Aleph, Rashi, Tashi Rashi we spoke at last year, that the sun did indeed rise earlier on this day for Yaakov, more so than the rest of the world. Why? to make up for the fact that earlier, where I just referenced Chof Ches Yud Aleph, the sun set earlier on his account. Where did the sun set earlier? When he left Canaan as he fled from Esav, we know the Pasuk says, Chazal tell us the sun set earlier. Since there the sun set earlier, now Vayizrach Loi HaShemesh, Vayizrach Loi HaShemesh, it rose earlier for him than the rest of the world. Then it set earlier, now it rises earlier. Ad kam the Gemara. What is the significance, Mayrather Abaisai? Those here in the Heichel, you knew the line was going to be said, you just didn't know when. I think at this point I meet people and they say, oh, I know the shir, that's where every week you say the line. Those in the Heichel, those who are currently listening live, and those who will hear the recording when it goes out. Mayrather Abaisai, what is the significance, pray tell, between the sun setting early and rising early? Question number one. Question number two, why is it specifically that it set early and rose early for Yaakov Avinu? Why specifically Yaakov? And question number three, of what is the significance that when these three Chachamim were speaking, they were buying food for the Chasana of Rabbi Gamliel's son? If the point is, Vayizrach Loi, the sun set for him, it rose for him, why is it significant where it happened? And how is there greater significance knowing that it took place while purchasing food for a chasana? So I'd like to start by answering some of the things brought down in the beautiful Sefer that I quote from time to time, the Sefer Avnei Kodesh. He brings down a very beautiful and powerful concept that hopefully this evening will open up. But let's quickly review those questions. Number one, what is the significance of the sun setting early and rising early? Number two, why dafka for Yaakov Avinu more than others? Number three, why was the setting of the story so significant at a chasana? I'm sorry, preparations for a chasana. We have to begin answering these questions by setting the stage of where we were at this time in history that the Gemara in Chulin repeats that story. The Roman prosecution was extremely intense. Nebuch, unfortunately, was so intense that many of the greatest amongst our people were brutally murdered and tortured, including, by the way, Rabbi Akiva himself, just a short while later, of course, known as one of the Asara Haruge Malchus, which we read both on Yom Kippurim as in one of the Kinnais on Tisha B'Av. The Tzarais were multiplying. The problems and the issues with our enemies were multiplying. And it almost looked like there would be a heavy sense of, there's the word we try not to use, Yiyush. Yiyush is despair. A heavy sense of Yiyush, a heavy sense of despair started to take hold of Klal Yisrael as a result of the intense and deep persecution of the Romans. So much so that the Gemara in Baba Basra, Dav Samach Omer Beis, tells us the Tanoim at this Tekufa felt that the decrees of our enemies were so harsh that the Tanoim felt both marriage and the mitzvah of Pruer Vu should be prohibited. You're going to bring children into such a world? You're going to bring children into a world where there are so many decrees against the Torah or Chalila and Chalila be killed by the Romans? So deep. Perhaps such desperation and such yiyush. So intense was the persecution of that generation that the Gemara in Baba Basra just quoted tells us that the Tanayim felt marriage and Pruer Vu should be prohibited because of what was taking place. So things were not looking good at all. That word we try not to use, but I said it a few moments ago, Yiyush. And then who comes along? Who comes along other than the great Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva, as I told you a moment ago, was certainly known for his positiveness, and his optimism. Dare I even use the word, sometimes we have the Haya versus Vayehi. Vayehi is a lashon of tzar, despair. Vahaya is a lashon of simcha, of joy. In a number of moments, we're going to get back to those two words of Vahaya and Vayehi. Rabbi Akiva, the one who represents optimism, positiveness, a life of exuding Vahaya. Oh, that's the Gemara we quoted earlier, the last Gemara in Makkos, Avchav Dalet Amud Beis. And as I told you, it is one of the most well-known Gemaras. It was after the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. And many of the great leaders, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, they were on their way up to the place of the Beis HaMikdash, Jerusalem. They reached Har HaTzofim, and they tore their clothing. What is it that they saw when they arrived at the Har HaBayis? Shualim, foxes. Foxes were coming out of the place of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The colleagues of Rabbi Akiva started to cry, and Rabbi Akiva started to laugh. And of course, they asked him, why are you laughing? And he said, why are you crying? And they said, how could we not weep? This is a place that originally it says a person who's not a Kohen is not allowed to approach there. They'll die. And yet foxes are so freely walking and roaming there. How could we not weep? And Rabbi Akiva said, of course you know the Gemara. That's exactly why I am laughing. That's exactly why there's that aura of positiveness, that attitude, if you will, of the Hoya, as I quoted a moment ago. Why? Because we know that there were two Nevuas, one of Uri and one of Zechariah. Uri said that the place of the Beis HaMikdash will become desolate. Foxes will be found there. And then the Navi tells us Zechariah, the elderly men and the elderly women are going to once again sit in the streets of Yerushalayim. Now that I see that the first prophecy has come true, I know that the second one, the Ezras Hashem is about to, the second one can't come true until the first one does. But if the first one has come true and it's desolate with foxes, I'm laughing because I know that the second one is about to and can certainly come true. And of course, you know the end of the Gemara in Machlokes, Akiva Nichamtanu, Akiva Nichamtanu. You comforted us. Clearly, there are many takeaways from that Gemara at the end of Machlokes, but perhaps the greatest is the attitude, the positiveness, the approach of a Rabbi Akiva. As I said already twice, his was not an approach of Vayehi. His was an approach of Ahaya. And by the way, before I get back to answering our three questions, might I digress for a moment? Maybe we can use this life of Rabbi Akiva, who it says about Rabbi Akiva as one of the Asara Rumalchus when he was being murdered, She Yotzen Nishmosei Be'echad. Perhaps we can explain with this life of Rabbi Akiva, life of positiveness and Vahaya, when was Rabbi Akiva murdered? He was murdered on Yom Kippurim. And we know that, or one way to remember that, is the first words that we say when we begin the Kol Nidre, the night of Yom Kippurim, we say in such beautiful melody, Or Zaru Ala Tzadik, Uli Yishrei Lev Simcha. Certainly a reference to Rabbi Akiva. Or Zaru Ala Tzadik, Uli Yishrei Lev Simcha. He managed as a tzaddik to maintain the simcha. And the Mefarshim tell us, how do you know that these words that begin the Kol Nidre is a reference to Rabbi Akiva? Because look at the last letter of those six words. Or Zarua Latzadik Uli Yishrei Lev Simcha. The last letter of Or is a resh for Rabbi, and the last letter of the next five words spells Akiva. Ayin Kuf Yud Vez Hey. Now you'll ask me, we spell Akiva with an aleph at the end, not a hey. That happens to be a whole shayla. In fact, in Igros Moshe, Reb Moshe speaks about Akiva with an ayin, excuse me, with a hey or an aleph at the end of the word. Or Zerua la tzaddik uliyishalif simcha. This tzaddik Rabbi Akiva maintained his simcha, indicated in the last letter of those words, it spells Rabbi Akiva. And maybe that's the way a Yid begins their Yom HaKippurim. Sometimes a Yid could go into Yom Kippur with despair, with Yiyush. I've had a terrible year. I was plagued by Chatoyim. I kept spiritually falling and making mistakes. Of course we have to have Charata and Vidui and Aziva Sachet. But the Yetzirah would like, as we begin Yom HaKippurim, for the atzvus, the sadness, the yiyush, the despair to set in. You think with the type of year you've had, you could crawl out of it? You think with the type of year you've had, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is interested in making an exchange, your chatoyim, avoynis, and pshoyim, for his slicha, mechila, and kapara? Are you kidding me? With the type of year you had? That's the talk and the approach of the Yetzihara. A Yid has to remember as they begin, Kol Nidrei, or Zeru ala Tzadik, Ule Yishrelev Simcha. Rabbi Akiva had the ability to exude that Simcha, the antithesis of Atzvos and of Yiyush, that ability to remain positive and optimistic. And that's why Rabbi Sayyid begins Kol Nidrei and Yom HaKadosh Yom HaKippurim, remembering the life of Rabbi Akiva, because that's the way to successfully attack the Yetzirah. We did make mistakes. We do have Chatoyim Averis and Pshoyim, but we'll try to approach it with Rabbi Akiva's Vahoyu, with Rabbi Akiva's Vesimcha, with Rabbi Akiva's positive approach, and that's why Kol Nidrei begins with Rabbi Akiva. And that's why his colleague said to him at the end of the Gemara in Makos, Akiva Nichamtonu, Akiva Nichamtonu. And now we go back to our Pasuk, our Gemara in Chulin, and the opening three questions that we had. We wanted to know why the sun rising and setting, why specifically Yaakov, and why preparing for a chasana. Lavnei Kodesh, based on everything we just explained, says so beautifully. The idea of referencing the sun, and specifically for Yaakov, was Rabbi Akiva reminding the others that although the sun did set early, and that's a reference, of course, to galus and difficulties and trials and tribulations and angst and sorrows, I want to remind you the sun is going to rise once again. Take a look at the beginning of Parshas Vayetze. Yaakov is fleeing from Esav. The sun just set, literally and figuratively, for Yaakov. He was enveloped in the overwhelming darkness. Is there going to be a tomorrow? But Rabbi said that darkness didn't last forever. When he crossed the Yarden, it says that he only had the stick that he had with him, and now all of a sudden in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayishlach, he sends a message to Esav, he's returning, he's meeting him. There are two camps, there's a large entourage. He's returning Sholem with his body, with his money, with his Torah. The same sun that unexpectedly put him into darkness and set prematurely, and potential despair, is the same sun that now rises brightly for him. And so clearly the idea of the sun setting early and unexpectedly, and by the same token, Meira Verabaisai rising early and unexpectedly, seems to be what Klal Yisrael goes through at times. The sun seems to set. The difficulties are there. But is it going to be atzlus, yush, and despair? Because all of a sudden that same sun will rise brilliantly and prematurely, indicating the Geula, the personal and the national, the Geula for Klal Yisrael is ready to come. So that which could be perceived as suffering and fear could mamish turn into salvation and hope. And it's specifically for Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, is known as the Bechir Sheba Avos. Why more than Avram and Yitzchak? Why is Yaakov Avinu, pray tell, known as the Bechir Sheba Avos more than Avraham and Yitzchak? Why? Because Yaakov Avinu's life, says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, was a life of Nisyonos Timidiyos. The other Avos had extraordinary challenges at times, but the Nisyonos and the trials and tribulations and challenges of Yaakov Avinu were Timidiyos again and again and again. It almost seemed like it was without stop. And so Rabbi Yosef Chaim says, sometimes the Yid at the end of Golos, which we are in right now, Ikvus of the Mashicha, we feel like B'nei Yaakov, B'nois Yaakov. Sometimes we feel like we're being tested and tried with Nisyonos Timidiyos, Timidiyos, Timidiyos. Maybe relentless. And that's why it's specifically for Yaakov Avinu. Perhaps I was thinking, as I was preparing the shiur, maybe that's why when it comes to Birchas Hamazon, the Ribbono Shel Olam allowed me to think of this chiddush in Birchas Hamazon, in the fourth bracha, the Hatoy v'Hameitiv, the pasuk says, "Boireinu goyaleinu yaitzenu kidoishenu." We spoke about the Shabbos morning, and then it says, "Kidoish Yaakov." Why Kedosh Yaakov more than Kedosh Avraham and Yitzchak? Why specifically Kedosh Yaakov? Maybe we remind ourselves, and by the way, in this bracha, why this bracha of Shemayin, excuse me, of Birchas Hamazon? The other brachos we've been learning, who established those brachos? Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua, David and Shlomo. Who established this? We know the Chachomim established this because Atoy v'Hameitiv, the Haruge Beitar. Reb Zev Lev Shlita says so powerfully, what happened with Haruge Beitar? Millions were murdered. The blessing wasn't that they came back to life and there was Tchias HaMesim. The blessing was that for a number of years, as Machlekes, was it 3 years, 7 years, 25 years, 4 years, that nothing happened to the dead bodies. They didn't decompose. They were not affected by the sun and the weather conditions. It wasn't eaten and consumed by animals. They were given proper burial. So Reb Zev Lev points out, we're learning from this. They didn't come back to life. The Yosayimim and Almanos remained Yosayimim and Almanos. But you have to look for that, what you perceive as a 1% good or 2% good. What happened over here? The bodies didn't rot. The bodies didn't decompose. On that 1 or 2% or 3% good, one looks for the 100% of the 1%. The 100% of, don't just say, well, it's only a little good, a drop of good, it's not totally good. It's complete goodness of that nekuda. That's the word of Hatoy v'Hameitiv. I know they didn't come back to life. I know there were still millions of Amanos and Yosayimim. But on that which you perceive as the small good, it's 100% of that good, and that's why we establish Hatoy v'Hameitiv. Nu, is that not the lesson of the life of Yaakov Avinu? Dar nisyonos and nisyonos and nisyonos. But as Rabbi Akiva taught us, you don't look for the desperation, you don't look for the yish, you don't look for the despair, for the atzos. You look for the positiveness, you look to see, as difficult and as challenging as it may be, to look for the v'haya in life. This bracha v'atoy v'ameitiv, which is all about not giving up, continuing, is kidoshenu kidosh Yaakov. We ask the question, why not kidosh Avraham, why not kidosh Yitzchak? Because according to Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, we best relate with the Bechir Sheba Avos. Which one? Yaakov Avinu. So in the bracha v'atoy v'ameitiv, which is all about looking for every aspect of good, looking for 100% of the 1%, looking for the positive, looking for the positive, looking for the positive. The sun set, but the sun's going to rise. Who taught us this? Yaakov Avinu. He left Vayetze, the sun set. Vayishlach begins, the sun is rising once again. Kiddeshenu, Kiddesh Yaakov. And by the way, that's why the next words say, Re'enu, Re'ei Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu's other name is Yisrael. When we reach a level of Atayva Meitiv and we look for the perfect good, as Kiddeshenu, Kiddesh Yaakov, will merit the higher level of his name, the higher level of his name of Re'enu, Re'ei Yisrael. A reference, of course, to Yisrael being the higher and more exalted name of Yaakov Avinu. So in conclusion, we now know the significance of the sun setting unexpectedly and rising. We now know clearly why and how to be specifically Yaakov Avinu. And the third question that we had asked ourselves was, why picking meat for a chasana? Because a chasana is such a joyous time. A chasana is a simcha where the Be'ezus Hashem will be a perpetuity of Klal Yisrael, Pru Urvu, future generations. A chasana reminds us of hope. A chasana reminds us of encouragement. It reminds us that that which we felt as the suffering and the fear can be replaced with kol sosayin v'kol simcha, kol chosam v'kol kala b'chutzos Yerushalayim. And so it had to be the sun rising and setting. It had to be specifically kiddoshenu kiddosh Yaakov, and specifically at an event as joyous as a chasana representing the future of Klal Yisrael, the perpetuity, the encouragement, the hope, the belief. There's a medrash in Tehillim. The medrash Shechetoy tells on the Apostle, Yan Hashem B'yayim Sara, Kapitel Chof. We say it every day after Ashrei, before Valetziyah, at the end of the Davening. The Medrash gives us such a powerful mashal. There was a father and a son that were traveling together, and as the trip progressed, the son began to tire, and he said, Abba, when are we getting to the city already? And his father answered him, when you see the cemetery, which is at the outskirts of the city, when you see a cemetery, then you'll know we're almost there. And the Nimshol, the Medrash tells us, is that that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam, as our father, says to his son, Klal Yisroel. Sometimes you feel that the tzaras are coming in quick succession. Sometimes you feel like it's a living graveyard, like a cemetery. The Medrash tells us that when you see that cemetery, you know that you're almost there, that the redemption and the Gula Shalema is just around the corner. When all of the tzaras seem to be piling up and night seems to be at its darkest, when it seems to be like we're arriving at the cemetery, that's when we know that the salvation and the Yeshua is mamish imminent. I mentioned multiple times the idea of the word Vahaya versus the word Vayehi. What is the difference between Vahaya and Vayehi? Vahaya is a joyful expression, and Vayehi is the antithesis, an expression of tsar and angst and woe. Look how interesting the word is. Vayehi is Vav, Yud, He, Yud. If you remove that Vav for a moment, the three letters Yud, He, and Yud, Yehi is future. When you add the Vav Vayehi, it becomes the past. The word Vahaya is just the opposite. Without the Vav, the word Haya is future. Excuse me, Haya is was. I apologize, the past. When you add the Vav, it becomes Vahaya, the future. And that's what Klal Yisrael has to remember. If Klal Yisrael takes the Yehi, but they only look at the past, what was, that turns what could have been into a Vayehi, Oy Yitzar and Oy. But if we will take, like the word Vahaya indicates, Haya was, we look at the past, we look at the darkness, we look at what could have been Yiyush and Atzlus and despair, but we add the Vav, and of course Vav is the letter that represents the Chibur. Vav represents the unity. Vav represents our togetherness. We take the Haya, the past, and with our togetherness we create a Vihaya, a bright future. Now that's a Simcha. That's a Simcha. Taking the past that could have been the Yiyush and the desperation, but bringing the Vav Achibur, bring the unity of Klal Yisrael, and utilizing the past as encouragement and hope, that makes Vahaya a Simcha. That was the life of Rabbi Akiva. It's interesting to note you have many psukim, and with this we'll conclude, in the Torah, where you at least expect the word Vahaya. It's times of sadness, and yet that word is center stage. When the Pasuk tells us about those who cry out to the Borei Olam, the Pasuk, the Rabbi Shalom, the Pasuk says, Vahaya ki yitzak alai. Now, if they're crying out and they're in such pain, what are you doing with the word Vahaya? You would think it should be the word Vayehi. The Mefarshim tell us, if you can cry out, but you can still manage the positiveness and the approach of Vahaya, even when it's ki yitzak alai, that taka could bring simcha. Similarly, you find the Pasuk tells us by war, Vahaya ki sikrena milchama, and you have to wonder if it's milchama, that should be the word Vayehi, not the word Vahaya. Once again, it's the same pshat. If even by milchama, one could seek to find the positiveness, one could seek to find the hope and the encouragement, one seeks to find the emunah, the ability to go on, if you can inject the Vahaya, even ki sekrena milchama, that could bring a great amount of simcha. Klal Yisrael, as we've said for the last 6-plus weeks, in the Esara Hila Yaakov, is certainly trying to fulfill ki yitzak alai. We cry out to the Borei Olam, ki sekrena milchama, during the time of war. But if we can show the Ribbono Shel Olam our ability to continue, our ability to shteig, as we've said, bein Adam l'chaveiroi, bein Adam la'atzmoi, and bein Adam la'mokoim, that's showing the Ribbono Shel Olam that although the sun set, but we believe that the sun is also going to rise unexpectedly. That Vahaya, that life of Rabbi Akiva, that encouragement, that hope, that belief, that emunah, that life of Vahaya has the ability through the Vav Achibur, through the unity, to bring simcha. Meirai v'Rabbi say, as we read the parsha and we see, Vayizrach lei Hashemesh, the sun did rise unexpectedly for Yaakov Avinu, for Kideshenu Kidesh Yaakov. That same sun will rise for Ra'enu Raya Yisrael. We have to believe. We have to have the hope and the encouragement. We have to be mechazik each other. We must strengthen ourselves to the best of our abilities and be mechazik each other with the Vahaya ki Yitzak Olai. And in that schus, let's taka see a fulfillment of the second nevuah that Rabbi Akiva referenced, the Zekeinim and the Zekeinis Berchoivis Yushalayim, with the fulfillment of a Kol Sosa and Kol Simcha, Kol Chosim and Kol Kala, B'mheira and B'yameinu Amen.